WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man! What the Rock is cooking?
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night, and it's the Go Home to SummerSlam, which is this Saturday, live on ESPN app and Netflix. We learned some things. People get cursed. People can get injured. People get bloodied.
Yep.
And a lot more. We'll talk about it. This is the Raw Potion, presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. Stop Prime Gamers on Twitch Prime. Just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit for Rocket Sucker, then Zen Word in the Fortnite app shop with hashtag Epic Partners. It's SummerSlam this weekend. This was the go home. And it was filled with a lot of good wrestling, I would say.
It was filled with a lot of good wrestling. We had twists, we had turns, we had surprises. I mean, was it the most gobsmacking go-home I've ever seen? No, it wasn't. But in terms of a go-home, I felt this was entirely appropriate and suitable. And I don't really have a lot of complaints about that.
The World Tag Team titles were on the line. Bron Breakker, Austin Theory taking on Otis and Akira Tozawa. They had a pretty solid match with Bron Breakker destroying Tozawa for the win, and then they kind of annihilated Otis afterwards.
Yeah, that was really sad.
They chair shot him against the ring post. That could be the write off for Otis and Tozawa for a little bit.
I really hope they find them something to do other than being everybody's whooping boy. Like, I know that's a steady paycheck, and good for them that that's a steady paycheck. But, like, come on, man. It's been, what, 2 years, 3 years, something like that, since, like, the end of American Alpha? Like, you can't find them something to do?
Alpha Academy.
Or, excuse me, Alpha Academy? Like, you can't find...
It has been a decade for American Alpha.
Well, damn, they're waiting even longer on that one. But you know what I mean. Like...
Yeah, I know what you mean. But that's, like, the role. Not everyone's gonna get the big time role, and for now Tozawa and Otis are the whipping boys.
I know. I hope they find them something to do. But the match was solid, because I understand what they're doing here. Like, they're trying to garner sympathy for Otis and Tozawa because they are trying to get the Vision over his heels. That's the goal of all of this. This is, I think, I keep saying it, this is the last ditch attempt on the Vision to try to make it work before people get split out on their own. And we'll see if it actually happens or not.
So is this theory-centric to try to get him over? Do they have to view him more valuable than Bron Breakker? It's to get Theory over. They value Bron Breakker. Whatever you see on Unreal, yes, they're like, oh, let's not push him down everyone's throats. But if you look back at Unreal and the clips they use, when Seth Rollins cashed in, you looked at Bron Breakker and he had his leg wrapped because he got hurt during the big SummerSlam match against Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. He got hurt when he got dropped on his head at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then he legitimately injured himself with a hernia right after the Royal Rumble, killing all his momentum. This, their theory, because Theory is the best active talker they have who's currently wrestling. So they're going to try to put the heat on him and to get him over. And it's semi-working.
Honestly, I don't know if the group is helping him or hurting him.
It helps him. It helps him because he has people to play off of.
But are they the right people to play off of? Because I feel like if the point is to get him over, right? You want him to be the front and center. I feel like you need to have people that are going to let him shine as front and center. And no offense to Logan, but they're all competing for that same place because they're all arguably not Logan, but at least for Braun and Austin, they're both on kind of that same level in the group. It's very equal. There is no what I would say very definitive leader like it was when Seth was leading it, where it was Seth was the main guy, he was the big name, and then you had Braun and Braun behind him, right?
Yeah.
So I almost feel like that's what the group needs. And they need to figure out who is the leader of the group, and they need to make that person leader, and they need to let that person shine, and the others need to step back, especially if they aren't going to have Heyman be the leader. Because it would have worked if Heyman was going to be involved with the group, and Heyman was doing the talking, and he was sort of running everything, and then you could have all three of them shine equally as contributors to this group. But they took Heyman out of it. And now they're all kind of, I feel like, fighting for that attention while they're trying to get Austin Theory over as a heel. So it's like, if you're going to get Austin Theory over as a heel, commit to getting him over as a heel and have the other two step back and let him run the group and let him be the leader of the group and let him get over as that. But just trying to have him be an equalized contributor, I think, is hurting him just a little bit.
We'll see what they end up doing. It was Javon Evans and Rusev. Here's my biggest complaint about this really good match. Because I've been watching it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks now. Everyone could fight out of the accolade.
Yeah, they can.
It was cool when it happens once. In the gauntlet, it happened like three or four times. People are just fighting out of it. It's weak in the move. It doesn't feel as powerful as it once did. Mm-mm. He needs a new finish. Because I see what the agents are doing. It's like, okay, we have the baby face struggle and they get to the ropes. But because Rusev's wrestling more, which is a great thing, they're repeating the spot every week.
Yeah.
And it becomes less effective, the finish move, if every week someone's crawling to the ropes and breaking it. And it happens every single week. And that needs to change.
Yeah.
But this was a really good match. Javon Evans with a combination stunner into the OG cutter for the win. I really enjoyed this match.
I thought it was good, aside from that one thing. I thought it was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was a good balance. It was a good mix.
Another good match, Ethan Page, Rey Mysterio. It was a rematch from about a month ago when Rey Mysterio got the win. Ethan Page got the win here tonight. It was really good.
I thought this was fun.
It was a much needed win for Ethan Page, who's kind of been 50-50 a little bit lately. So he needed a nice win over Rey Mysterio. I would be happy to see this match one more time at some point down the line.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain if we got this again.
It was Sol Ruka, Raquel Rodriguez for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Corey Graves hammered it home all night long through the match that Raquel needs this win to set, you know, she needs to finally win the big one, win that first singles title on the main roster. They hammered it home over and over and over again. To the point where it's like, well, if she doesn't win it, they just set her up for failure.
Right.
But thankfully, they did not set her up for failure. They told the story of Raquel finally getting the Women's Intercontinental Championship, beating Sol Ruka here tonight on Monday Night Raw. Raquel's was busted open on the nose, maybe a broken nose, maybe just a bloody nose. We've been seeing that a lot lately with the girls getting their nose busted open a bunch on television.
Nose and teeth.
But
they're going for it, man.
I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was a really good, well done match. I thought the interference played well on all parts. We had interference from Roxanne Perez. We had interference from Liv Morgan. We had interference from Io Sky. But in the end, Roxanne, who was laid out on the outside, snuck up. Stop the soul snatcher from happening, allowing the Tahana bomb to come out from Raquel Rodriguez, and she pinned her 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring, your new Intercontinental Champion, Raquel Rodriguez. I enjoyed the brawl between Io and Liv. Liv was ready for Io.
Yeah, she was.
As she came out. All in all, really good stuff. Lamanzo, so does this lead to Liv losing, then playing the jealousy angle because Raquel has a title, not her? Not to mention it was Roxanne that helped her win it, not Liv. I don't know if it plays to the jealousy angle. We'll see what happens come SummerSlam, come if Liv loses the Women's World Championship. I think it's too early to play the jealousy card, but we'll see.
I think it depends on what they're going to do to it and where it's going to go. At some point, Liv has to get her comeuppance for multiple things. I think she's just about due for that. So if they decide that, you know, if she loses to Io on over the weekend, because I'm not sure what day she's on.
Io Saturday.
Okay. So if Liv loses on Saturday and you have Raquel with a belt, you can have that tie into it. But I think it could be more be you add on to that because Liv scrambles to get her title back, because that's really sort of her identity, is being the women's champion and running the show. And without it, who is she? So I think she has sort of an identity crisis potentially, and she scrambles to get it back, and the girls try to help her, but they ultimately fail. Mm-hmm. And Liv kind of sort of collapses in on herself a little bit. Like, I think you could write it like that, and it would be interesting for her because it would already play into what she's doing. And you just have her go a little bit more batshit. Now, what that does for Judgment Day, I have no idea. I keep saying, I think at this point the group has run its course. It's not really doing a lot other than interference. They're sort of like part of the plug group and that's it. So I think it would be a good way to split Liv out back out on her own, have her start doing her own thing. I think you've built Raquel up into her own thing. Unfortunately, Roxanne's cooled off a little bit, but I think you could easily heat her back up, especially if you do something between her and Liv, where it's like Liv's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go for my title, and you do like a 3-0 with E or something, and Roxanne just sneaks in and gets the victory out from under Liv, and she's like, see you, bye, thanks for the title.
You had Lyra at ringside, by the way, watching this stuff as well.
Yeah.
Crazy Lyra. We'll see where that plays out.
Yeah, I'm still not a fan of that. But I mean, it's like the match was good, but again, and I know it was purely for SummerSlam to move everything along for SummerSlam just to get the brawl between Io and Liv. But LOL, Judgment Day interferes. Now, in this case, it cost them. And in this case, they did get some consequences to it. So I think that makes it a little bit better. But it still goes to the point that like every single Judgment Day match has some level of interference. It's to the point that you can predict it and you can expect it and you know it's there. It's not a surprise or inventive anymore. And that is still a problem.
So we'll see what happens as we normally do with the Judgment Day. It was Danhausen and Joe Hendry in the ring. I believe that you are cursed. You had Minnie Housens, you had the LA Clippers cheerleaders. There was a big song and dance routine leading to Zuffa boxer Ryan Garcia showing up. He was in the crowd watching. He got in the dance line with the cheerleaders, then got in the ring, hit Joe Hendry with the guitar. Judgment Day attacked. Dominic hit the frog splash on Danhausen. It was later then confirmed because Danhausen was in his laboratory hurting, and Alan Pierce walked in and was like, just give them the money back. I want this done. I want this off my show. Just give them the money back. And he goes, human money's on a pole. So we go way back. Almost 20 years. 20 plus years at this point. 21 years. To the Dominic on a pole. So now human money's on a pole.
Win Vince McMahon's money.
Oh, God. It's human money's on a pole. This Sunday at SummerSlam. That should be fun.
I don't want to hear anybody complain about what they're doing with Danhausen. Now, exposure issues aside, because there is a little overexposure starting to happen. But like in terms of WWE embracing Danhausen as a character and letting Danhausen be Danhausen and do really what has brought him to the show and then enhancing it and adding to it, I don't want to hear any complaints on that because they have done him so right and it's worked.
It has worked.
They've let him shine because they could have really easily taken him and made him something completely different. But they understood the assignment. They took him and they're like, okay, we're just going to let you do your thing. we're going to give you the time to do it, and we're going to see if you can get it over. It's just like Joe Hendry. They have embraced who Joe Hendry is as a character. They understand that that's what brought him to the dance. They have let him do his thing, and they have let him get over. And he like Danhausen, came up through the indies. I know that's not necessarily an uncommon thing in WWE anymore, but like in terms of them altering characters and changing characters, that is a thing that does happen. Because I don't think they have embraced, maybe Penta, they have embraced that hard, but like a lot of other characters, they haven't. They don't go this far for a lot of other characters. So it's really nice to see that they are doing that for Danhausen. And they are doing it for Joe Hendry and others, but like, I don't hear anybody complain that they don't do this for people, because Danhausen, I think, is a textbook case of that. I will say this. I think they can lay off the sports connection just a little bit with Danhausen. I know it was to celebrate
the Knicks. He tied himself to the Knicks brand, and he had to finish it out. I think it's all coming to an end, the sports brand stuff.
I think we're on the tail end of it, but I would like to see it kind of begin to taper off, because it's like, okay, you had the moment. It was really cool. You've milked the moment. It's kind of over, and we've all sort of moved on from it. So like, you know, just kind of move on. Let's see. I don't know about that. They seem to have removed the whole, they've sort of tapered it off, because I think it needs to be something special. Like if you just have Joe Hendry be the guy that you say his name and suddenly he's appears and that's his whole character and his whole personality, that has the shelf life of like 6 months, and then the novelty of that wears off. So who is Joe Hendry beyond you say his name and he appears?
So I'm like, going to correct the man's for really quick. They've not removed it, because if you listen to commentary, especially last week when Danhausen was getting attacked and then Joe Hendry made the save, Cole screaming or Quarius was screaming, he must have said Joe Hendry. Like, they're doing it subtle. You don't have to do say his name and he appears, but they're doing it subtle where it's still attached to the gimmick, because right now Joe Hendry is the mid-card guy. In NXT, he had many segments to kind of pop up and appear if you said his name. Because he was a featured character. Here, he's just a guy on the roster in a mid-card role. If he was a featured player, you would add that more in. Because you're not having him five times a show. On NXT, he was opener, main event, middle of the show. He was in multiple segments. So the gimmick had more legs if someone said his name and he showed up. That's my take on it. But anyway, moving on. Usos, day one-ish. They rambled. They talked. But you know who's getting over?
Who?
Solo.
Yeah.
They were chanting his name tonight. I don't think they've ever chanted his name.
I think like once.
Maybe. But he is playing it up of everyone loves Solo. And he's letting his true personality shine in all this. I love it.
It's great. It's giving him the opportunity to shine. And they're building him back up, because I think, like, here's the thing. Solo was on his way up in the bloodline, right? Like, and then the whole thing finished out and they made him the head of the bloodline. And I think they really didn't know what to do with him. Because the whole thing was, it's like, it should have culminated in a feud between Roman and Solo. And I think eventually it did.
It
but
did.
Like, Roman sort of like fucked off for a while, right? And that didn't help Solo. And it all kind of like fizzled and tapered off. And so it wasn't as good. Like, you didn't have that immediate tension of Solo building and Solo challenging, because it also all became all about Jay and everything that happened with Jay. So like, there was that too, which that needed to be naturally resolved. That took first slot, and I respect that took first slot. So I think like Solo, they've tried things with him. It hasn't necessarily always worked. With this, it's working, because it's letting him be him. It's kind of like Jacob. They're just letting Jacob be Jacob and do his own thing, and it's working.
So the Usos were talking up the match on Saturday. Solo came out. He said there's no bloodline without him. He said the Usos have no chance at SummerSlam. Jimmy said they all know that he's just playing this game like he doesn't want to return to the bloodline, but it was the best thing that happened to him. He said, you just listen to Tribal Chief and just run the play. So I was like, or else what? You're going to yeet for 30 minutes or just do this crap and bore everyone to sleep, or is he eating? He said he loves where he's at. So why would we return to the family? He says the fans love where Solo is at. Some fans cheered, some were like, yeah, Solo, Solo. He also told Usos to tell Roman he can kiss his ass. And they talked about it. Then he hyped up Royce Keyes. He hyped up L.A. Knight, which then brought out Stone Cold L.A. Knight to the ring. Okay, my big complaint. L.A. Knight's promos tonight were pure Rock Austin. Drive down this road and come to this thing. And this is the... They were very Stone Cold tonight.
I'm just going to say this. If you aren't going to pull the trigger on LA Knight, why are we doing this again? It's very much the same thing on Sammy. It's like, how many times are we going to go to this well where you're going to push LA Knight and you're going to push him to a really good pinnacle and then it's just going to fall flat like you always do. And you're not going to pull the trigger on him like you always do. Right. And yeah. I will agree. Yes. The promos were very much reminiscent of Stone Cold. And because here's the thing, LA Knight can talk. He's one of the best talkers they have. He's over with the fans. He's over, you know, he's in the commercials. He's, as far as you can tell, they think very highly of him, except for the fact that they will not push him beyond where he is. They're keeping him at a very specific level, and I don't understand why. Because it's like, you've set him up to sort of be this face of the company, but yet you aren't ready to take him there yet. And when you have a main event division that needs fresh blood, I don't understand why you aren't doing that. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I know.
Unless it's just literally that you have people like Obafemi and Jacob Fatu and several others come along and they looked at LA Knight and they looked at the other guys and they went, yeah, we're going to put you on hold. That's the only thing I can figure, is that other people took off in front of him and that's why he's gotten dropped. But I honestly don't know. But it's like, the promo was fine. The promo's good. The promo's always good. Like, that's the thing. LA Knight can't cut a bad promo. I don't think he's capable of it. But it's like, what the fuck does it mean if you aren't going to take him where he's meant to go and you aren't going to pull the trigger? Like, yeah. Why should I buy into the promo if I already sort of know where this is going? Which is that LA Knight is going to lose. And he's going to go right back to where he was.
We'll see what happens at SummerSlam. But they're 5 days away. So he leaves. He cuts the promo about them kicking ass. LA style. Then he starts to leave. Teases to come back. They comes back. Tucks off his vest. They all brawl. Everyone comes out. Jacob Fatu comes out. Everyone's fighting. We have the death grip on Royce Keyes. Solo gave Fatu the Samoan spike. Everyone's fighting it off. And the baby faces stood tall. I liked it.
I thought it was good.
The best visual thing on this show was the opening segment.
Mm-hmm.
The weigh-in. You had Pierce and Hunter in the ring with Obafemi. The cell is around the ring. Oba's 302 pounds. Brock comes out. They close the door. And it's padlocked and chained together. Lesnar wanted nothing about being in the cell with Oba or being weighing in tonight. He said, letting Lesnar into the Hell in a Cell isn't a good idea. He said, Oba is an underdog. He said, Lesnar is the beast of the Broctagon. He has never lost in Hell in a Cell, and that streak will never be broken. Oba was looking intensely at Lesnar this entire time. He's like, he's stalking them. Lesnar's walking around the ring, and Oba's just staring them down as they walk outside. As they're out on the outside of the cell, and Oba's inside. They're just staring each other down. It was great visual.
Mm-hmm.
Oba's like a man trapped in a cage. He shakes it a bunch. Lesnar said, basically told him, I'll see you at SummerSlam, bitch. And Oba's like, run away like you always do. Oba told Lesnar he wasn't going to be locked in with Lesnar, but Lesnar will be locked in with me. Then Oba beat down the security guys in the ring. Almost dropped one on his head to close the segment. But the whole visual of him walking around the ring, Brock was, and Oba following, was tremendous. Such a great visual.
I think all of this was really well done. It was very creative how they did this, and I applaud that. I will agree with LeMans that the build feels more like a main event of SummerSlam than any other match. And we will see if this mains or if this doesn't. I don't think it will. I think the title match is going to get the main slot. And the only reason I say that is because they have not announced Brock's retirement. They are intentionally not adding that, and that's fine. So we'll talk more about that on Thursday. But the intent is that it's okay if it feels like that. Or the point is, it's okay if it feels like that. Because this is a big match. This is a big deal. It's Oba versus Brock in Hell in a Cell for nothing other than pride. That's what's at stake, is someone's pride. And these two are going to get in the ring and they are going to beat the shit out of each other. So it should feel big. It should feel important. because it is one of the marquee matches. So I like that they put the effort into this to do the weigh-in, and you had them locked in the cell. So it was a contained situation. And just the visuals were fantastic of this. The fact that you had Hunter involved in this was really cool. That we got our yearly Triple H appearance, or our quarterly Triple H appearance.
Yeah, quarterly Triple H appearance.
For this. Because it's important, right?
It's a big deal, and it is a big deal. It could be the main event. I think Cody Punk could be semi-main, especially if Oba, if you're planning on making the push for Oba to be big time, you could have a main event night one. It will probably hurt the egos of Cody and Punk, but I think Oba standing tall to end SummerSlam would be the bigger deal. But we'll talk more about that. That's Thursday topic. We have one more thing to talk about tonight. Roman Reigns wanted to be acknowledged. Before he could be acknowledged, Seth Rollins came to the ring and said, told them to acknowledge him. Seth said he's guilty. You know, he's talking about, you know, Roman said, you know how to ruin a great thing. I tried to explain it to him, but LA knows the deal. You're an asshole. He's like, yeah, I am. I'm guilty of that. I'm the bad guy here. He said, I'm fine with that because he knows how to get his. He said, some people start at third base. People like me got to grind, got to hustle, got to grind to get hours. He said, he isn't taking anything away from Roman. He said, he's everything the company wanted to be and the money-making machine. He said, he has an edge on him in so many departments, but he'll never be better than one category. And that is professional wrestling. Ooh, he said, pro wrestling. He said, when it comes to what goes on in the ring, he owns his ass. He said, when it comes to what goes on, the thick skull of yours, I own your ass too. He said, everyone knows it, and there's nothing he can point to say that he's a liar. He said, he can call him an asshole, but he can't call him a liar. He said, every single time they've crossed paths, he owns him. He said, you shouldn't think of SummerSlam to be any different. He said, if he's going to have help from the bloodline as usual, Roman said Roman needs to beat me. You need to beat me, Roman. Everybody needs to beat you. He said, the whole industry needs me to beat you, Seth. It's a funny thing, said Seth. The things we need, right? He said, you need this redemption so bad. He said, when he suckered him into the match a month ago, he said he needed his family to be either to see it. You mean just like the time back at WrestleMania 31 when your family was crying when I cashed in on you and your whole family went home in tears? He hopes they are there on Sunday because he loved nothing more than to watch them cry again. Seth said that they'll find out that their daddy is a fraud, a loser, and he'll be Seth Rollins' bitch forever. Roman punched Seth. He beat his ass for a while. Left him laying with the spear. Then Roman went to grab the chair, stoically. Thinks about it. Grabs it. Picks it up. Gets in the ring. And then as he turns around, as Rollins is leaned on the ropes, the chair shot's about to come. Rollins turns around, knocks Roman down, stomp onto the chair. Down goes Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins stands tall to end Monday Night Raw.
This is really good.
This was really good. Yeah, it was.
I mean, you wouldn't expect it to not be good. That's the whole thing. Like, it's Seth and Roman. This should be fantastic because we've seen it, you know, at this point 10 times by now. And every time they get together and every time they go for this, it's always well done because they can continue to draw on that history, and it's infrequent enough that every time they do it, it feels somewhat fresh. Because there's new wounds. It's a wound that will never heal. It's festering. And it's festering in different ways. The catalyst of the whole argument is Seth's actions, but it's everything that's happened between them since.
Yes.
Right? That continues to cause that wound to fester. And that's how they're telling that story. And it's really good how they do that and how they keep that continuity between the two. I like that Seth looks strong against Roman. He needed to. I like Seth's character compared to Roman. As much as I love the fashionista character, I like that he's gone back to simpler, that he's kind of doing the all black, more serious Seth Rollins, the more cerebral Seth Rollins. He's going back into that. And when he does that character, it's absolutely fantastic. So, and compared to Roman, who has become much more cerebral in his character over the years, it's a really good pairing and a really good match. So, yeah, I'm excited for this. I think this is going on Sunday, right?
It is the main event of Sunday.
So this should be very good. I liked how they did the promo. Seth standing tall gives me the impression that it's going to be LOL Roman wins. But we'll talk more about that on Thursday. But yeah, I liked how the chair came into play. I liked that Seth did what he always does. He outsmarted Roman.
One
he played
more,
Roman.
One more time he did, yeah.
Well, one more time he got away with it. And he put Roman down, and it's kind of like he still got it in that category, and will that come into play come Sunday? We don't know.
The Rack
we don't know,
live.
You guys.
The Rack is live Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We will be talking about SummerSlam and previewing the show, so it's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Then we run it back Saturday to talk about night one when it ends. Should be fun. Sunday they talk about both nights. Whenever SummerSlam night two ends, they're allowed to talk about it on WTR Sunday WrestleTalkRadio. And we'll have all the fallout on the Raw post show next Monday night. And Raw ends, we're live to talk about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. Shit. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code Rocketstock or
Lin's M Ward.
And the 49 Item Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummerLin's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the preview of SummerSlam. We'll see you Saturday for the review of SummerSlam. And right back here every Monday along the airwaves with the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.